Amen. Hey, that was great. Wow. Yeah, I'm so sorry. You pastor's gone. Dr. Getch isn't here tonight. Man, you get me, man. You get me. But we had a great program, though, I'll tell you that. Praise the Lord. I don't know what I'm more excited about right now, Christian education or the United States of America. So I guess I'm just going to rejoice in both. Amen. You know, I speak at a lot of educators' conferences, usually about 3 to 4 a year, and a statement I say at the beginning, and I never speak at a graduation, that I do not say this to the parents and the grandparents. Christian education is not a sacrifice that you make. Christian education is an investment for the future. Think about what your young people at LBS are learning about America. That alone is worth the investment, not to mention what they get from God's word, what they hear about Christ, and what they get about in biology, what they get in mathematics. Everything is filtered through a biblical worldview. That is an investment in the next generation, my friends, and that is so important. I don't know. It has been a long time since I've been at a patriotic service, and that was just really, really good. Matter of fact, I'd like to have the, we're not doing this tonight. I was going, oh, good, I'm glad they brought that up. I'm glad they brought that, because I was going to mention, so put the sign back up for tonight. I love this land. That looks a lot better than anger management, biblically. Okay, honestly, last week I was in Indianapolis and I spoke a message on anger management, biblically. And boy, the Lord just touched that message and really used it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to preach that Sunday night. And I'm in the ready room today. Before we came out for the second service, and they said, yeah, now tonight's the patriotic service. And I said, oh, I got a message on anger management tonight. I said, man, that's going to have to change. So I didn't know what the title was going to be tonight. I didn't know it was going to be I Love This Land. But my message tonight, I knew I had to do something a little bit more along that line and a few things that I've really been burdened about. So tonight's title is I Love This Land, So It's Time to Stand. Take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 3. I love this land, and it's time to take a stand. Daniel chapter number 3. As you're turning to Daniel 3, I'd like to read to you Ephesians chapter 6. It'll be familiar to you. I'd like to have you turn to Daniel chapter 3. And I do praise the Lord for all of the young people tonight. By the way, I thought the ones that also spoke in the speech part were excellent tonight. I really mean that. I thought they were very, very well done. And whoever trained them, coached them, thank you for the investment that you've put into all of them. The music was phenomenal. And what's the name of the song that the girls just sang? God is Big Enough? So girls, I don't know where you are. And piano player, I don't know where you are, but we're going to end the service with that song, okay? So I shouldn't have said that now, because now you're going to worry all service long. But don't worry, we'll give you time to get on up here. But that's just going to fit perfect. What's the name of that song again? God is Big Enough? Yeah. That's exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thought. And Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 10 through 13, then we'll go over to Daniel chapter 3. By the way, did you see all those people that are at the conference in Egypt? Wasn't that amazing? That is just so exciting. What is happening over there and Pastor being there. Ephesians chapter 6, and I do want to take a moment. I thank Pastor for allowing me to speak in my church, and I really do mean that. Pastor has me scheduled several times, and it is a great honor to be able to come back to my home church and to be able to preach. I love this place, and I go to a lot of different churches, and there is no music, there is no pastor, there is no staff, and there is no congregation like Lancaster Baptist Church. And I am so thankful to be a part of this place. And I'm thankful Pastor schedules me once in a while. I really do mean that. It's a really great honor, and I thank the Lord for my pastor. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says this, finally, my brethren, Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wow, does that not describe our enemy? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Go to Daniel chapter 3, and let's stand for the reading of God's word tonight. We'll pick up the story. I think most of you are familiar with the story. Three young men who have been taken into captivity in a place called Babylon, away from their homeland. And while there is many things that they acquiesce about. There's many things that they're willing to submit to. Their names have been changed. There are many things for the positions that they had in the empire, in the kingdom, that they would have had to acquiesce and accommodate. But there are also times where there are certain things we cannot accommodate, and we have to take a stand. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was willing to serve Nebuchadnezzar, but they were not willing to bow down and worship another god. And for that, they had to take a stand. We see in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 14, a situation that may arise in our lives. Did you not think tonight, as these young people sang about their country that they live in, what that country holds for them for the future? Did you not think about what they're going to go through? I stand before you at 65 years of age, and I have never really had to take a great stand in America. I have been very blessed. I've been able to preach. I've been able to proclaim the truth of God's word in great peace. But the days are coming. These young people that sang tonight are going to have to live what they sang tonight somewhere, and they will have to stand. We also are in a country right now that it is time for all of us, if you love this land, you're going to have to take a stand. Daniel chapter 3, verse 14, as Nebuchadnezzar now has found out, matter of fact, I'll start at verse 13, has found out that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to his 90-foot tall gold image. We pick up the story in verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. By the way, do you not see that rage and fury in our leaders today? Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down. By the way, isn't that interesting that music is always associated to worship? Whether it's the devil's worship or God's, music is always a part. And there is no more musical being that has ever been created than Lucifer, than Satan himself. Ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? I love that statement, because we're going to find out who that God is, because they took a stand, because they took a stand. We live in a culture that does not know this God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, Oh, Nebuchadnezzar and everyone at Lancaster Baptist Church tonight, help me finish verse 16. I'll lead it in again. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Look over to verse 28. They go through the fire. They are not burned, only the ropes that held them. Jesus has a theophanies in the oven with them. He is present with them. We've come to the end of the story, verse 28, because this is what it's all about. And this is why we take our stand, not actually for a piece of property, but for the heritage of what this country was stand on, and for the truth that this country stood for, and why they came to this country was not gold, but God. And verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God than can deliver after this sort. Father, we thank you tonight for America, and we do love this land. And Father, I think what we mean by that in our hearts tonight is we love the foundation of this land, the heritage that we have. We're thankful for the truth and the freedoms. We're thankful for all of those that paid a price, whether in serving or with their lives, to protect what we're doing tonight in this church. Thank you for the armed services. Thank you, Lord, for a country that has the heritage that is based upon your word. It is evident no matter what they say. Our history is one of Christianity and your word. For that, we love this land. For that, we will take a stand, because we believe, Father, that you have been the God that has blessed this land. So Lord, tonight, teach us how to stand, when to stand, and I pray, Father, that it will be practical and helpful, and may some of the principles tonight be talked about around the dinner table tonight. I pray, Father, that you would speak to us about the right stand in the land that we love. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, thank you for standing for a long time there. But that's all right, because you're going to have to take a stand. Are you ready to take that stand? I think there are five things that I'd like to share with you, five truths or observations that I think are important about taking any stand for God whatsoever. And that's true for our country, but I do think that time has come. Number one, make sure you're not looking for a fight. Make sure you're not looking for a fight. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't go looking for this. This was something that came to their doorstep. And I would tell you, at this time in our country, you can't work in Antelope Valley. You can't go down to LA. You can't be in the Air Force at Edwards Air Force Base. You can't be around your neighbors or at restaurants where something's gonna come up where you're gonna have to take a stand. A stand for your God, a stand for your country, a stand for truth over lie and error. But make sure you're not looking for that fight. We don't need to be looking to fight and to get. The Bible says very clearly in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know how you'll be known is as a peacemaker. And I do believe as believers in Jesus Christ that we should do everything we can to avoid conflict and that we should not be known as a group of fighters, but peacemakers because those are the children of God. However, we also know in the day and age that we live in just the places we go, whether it's an airport or wherever, there are going to be times now that we're going to have to take a stand if we love this land. If we love the heritage and the God of this land, we're going to have to take a stand. Number one, though, make sure you're not looking for a fight. Number two, make sure you know who the enemy is. Make sure you know who the enemy is. And that's why I read Ephesians chapter 6. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And what I'm about to say is so important for all of us to get a hold of. If you don't fight the right enemy, you will be filled with hurt, hate, and you will harm the name of Christ. If you do not fight the right enemy, you will become full of hurt, hate, and harm. We see in our country people that may be fighting for a good cause, but they're hitting the wrong enemy. They're not attacking the right enemy. And I want to say this from the bottom of my heart. Keep your attack on principle and precept and not people as much as you can. Now, granted, if people hold to a principle, a philosophy, if they hold to something that is error, we know that we will have to confront a person. But keep the attack, keep the fight, keep the battle, not on people. Keep it on the principle and the precept. Know who your enemy is. I love that Martin Luther even understood this, that his battle was not against the church, it was against Satan. And do know that the father of lies, the devil himself, is what is destroying our country. Make sure that when you get into a stand, that you are standing against the right enemy. Man, keep your attacks at principle and precept, because otherwise you're going to be filled with hurt, hate, and harm. Number three, make sure you're not looking for a fight. Make sure you know who the enemy is. Number three, make sure you're ready for the results. Make sure you're ready for the results. If you're going to take a stand for something, there may be something that it's going to cost you. It may be popularity. It may be friends. It may be finances. It may be time, because now the fight that you got in is going to take some time. It's going to take some effort. Before you get in to taking a stand, make sure you've counted the cost of that stand, which leads us to number four, which is probably the most important of the night. Make sure this is the one to stand for. Make sure this is the one. And I wrote down four ways that I think you can kind of know if this was the time. How many things must have occurred in the Babylonian Empire that bothered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? There had to be several things that occurred. But this was the one that they said, this is where we take our stand. And I do believe, believers, that there's going to come something in your family, with your relatives, with your neighbors, with your coworkers, with people that you're associated with in some way, maybe a hobby that you do, maybe a group or an organization that you're with. Make sure that this is the fight, the stand that you want to take. For Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew this was it. A few things I put down. Know the issues before putting on the boxing gloves. Make sure you know the issues before you put on the boxing gloves. So many times we get into, I'm gonna take my stand for the, and we get into something that we don't know about. And we know halfway about this or halfway about that. We know it's wrong, but we haven't studied the issues enough to know, which leads us to number two. Know the issues before putting on the boxing gloves. Number two, study the scriptures before getting in the ring, that you're able to give a biblical answer. Now, we're not gonna take a lot of time tonight at all, and we've already had a great service, but I think it would be well, it would do you well as a mom and dad this summer to take some issues and take those issues and to teach your children the biblical, scriptural basis for why you believe what you believe. Right now, if I had boys growing up, and we did this with our sons many times, especially in the teen years, I can remember staying up. Now, my oldest son's an apologist today, so he's all over the country defending the faith, and I can remember dealing with Ben late into the night, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, with Marilee and I sitting with the scriptures open, because Ben wanted answers. I find it interesting, it was a worth investment. He's going around the country defending those answers today. But I want you to know, I think your children need to be able to give scriptural answers for areas. If I had boys growing up right now and they were in my home, we would be talking about abortion. And we would be talking about what the Bible says on the sanctity of life and pro-life. And I would talk about this, son, this would be the Bible verse I would use, whether it's Jeremiah 1:5, it doesn't matter, wherever you want to go. But your children ought to be able to defend what they believe, and you need to bring up these issues, and you need to get the scriptural background. By the way, you go to a church. That is amazing who we have here who could help you. If there's areas to go to a Brother England, a Brother Hauk, there's to go to Pastor Chapel, to go to the staff that we have here and the college faculty that we have here, utilize the church you're going to. Matter of fact, there are very few churches in America that could help you defend your faith better than here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And you ought to say amen to that, I'll tell you. Praise God for that. That's one of the blessings of going to this church. If there's an area that you do not have a scriptural answer for, talk to somebody here. Say, hey, how would you answer this? This has come up a couple times at the base. This has come up a couple times with our neighbors. We had a barbecue and this came up. And I don't think I was prepared yet to take my stand because I wasn't sure what I would say. And so I think that's important. Know the issues. Study the scriptures before getting in the ring. Number three, determine your position before taking your stand. Determine your position before taking your stand. Woe to the person that develops their doctrine in a crisis. That's why, by the way, another great positive to Christian education. It is in these early elementary grades that a young person should be bombarded and saturated with biblical truths. Now listen to me. When you're a first grader, second grader, third grader, fourth grader, fifth grader, even up into sixth grade, you do not have to understand all the Bible verses that you're memorizing. Now, I know that, what are you talking about? I really mean that. You just get the Bible in those young people. And then as they get older, they begin to realize this verse is for this. This is where this comes to play. And now they are loaded with biblical truth. Now they can critically think through an issue. A fourth grader cannot critically think through anything. A second grader doesn't know what's right and wrong. They have to be given the building blocks of truth before they can critically think properly. And it's so important that children, many of you know my middle son, Luke, and he's special needs. He was a slow learner. But do you know, he was a part of a program called Awana. My special needs son, who's a slow learner, who was socially promoted every year in school, Luke was, got the Timothy Award, which is the highest award given in Awana. That he memorized, you know, Brother Scheller, did Luke understand the verses that he memorized? Not a bit. But he understands them now, and it amazes me how Luke will quote scripture today. And he didn't understand it. His mind wasn't able, but he got those verses in them. Praise God. By the way, when you're in these young grades, it's unbelievable what your mind can absorb. It's unbelievable what your children can learn. Get it full of truth. Because then when they have to critically think things out, they will have the building blocks to build that critical thinking. You know, if you would have gone up to Ben when he was 5 years old, and you would have said to Ben, Ben, is smoking bad? Oh, smoking's bad. Smoking's bad, bad, bad. Ben, why is smoking bad? Because my dad says it is. That's a great answer at five. But if you went up to Ben at 15 and say, hey, Ben, smoking bad? Yeah, smoking's bad. Why is smoking bad? Because my dad says it's bad. That's not a good thing. Because it ain't going to be long before he's holding a cigarette. If all he's holding on to is what dad told him at 15, we got a problem. But you know what? You give them the building blocks and the truths and the verses. And then when they're older, they can now, they've got truth to reason with the situations that they're in. Man, it is important. Know the issue. Study the scriptures. Determine your position before taking your stand. And number four under, make sure this is the one to stand for. Practice your argument with friends before giving your argument to enemies. Boy, that is, Christians, we could all learn from that point alone. Practice at the dinner table. How would you, and moms and dads, this is what you do. You put your children in scenarios and you give them a scenario and say, how would you answer this? What would you, I do this as a college teacher all the time. I put the college students in scenarios in every one of my classes. So how would you handle this? What did you just learn earlier this week? How would you handle this situation? How would you do this? What would you do in ministry if this happened? They have to be able to think things through. And we've got, if we're going to take a stand for the land that we love, then we're going to have to be able to give an answer for the hope that dwelleth in us with meekness and fear. We're going to have to practice your arguments with friends before giving your arguments to enemies. And I'm telling you, I just love that dinner table situation. That's where you bring this up. Hey, let me ask you something, son. Hey, honey. Hey, daughter. If this happened, how would you deal with this? If you're in a car, And they did this, or they brought some alcohol out, what would you say? What would you do? That is wise parenting. You're letting them work through how to take a stand when that stand comes. Did you notice those verses? We are not careful to answer thee. Nebuchadnezzar, by the way, the word there has anxious. They're not afraid at all. Even though Nebuchadnezzar is the most powerful world leader maybe ever, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, hey, with all due respect, King, we're not careful, we're not anxious. We've already thought this out. We already know what the lines are. We know what the issues are. I am sure they practice with each other. By the way, who was the one that spoke for them? What do you mean? Was it Shadrach? Was it Meshach? Was it Abednego? Or did they all memorize it and they all did it in unison together? Well, Brother Scheller, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. You know, the Bible doesn't say. Somebody had to speak. But he definitely spoke for the rest, the other two. You know they talked about this before they got before Nebuchadnezzar. We are not careful to answer thee. We are not afraid to answer because we've got the truth. and we know what is right and we know what is wrong. We have already discussed this around our dinner table, and we are not careful to answer thee. We know what we believe. We know what we need to stand for. And Nebuchadnezzar, we will be delivered from you one way or the other. We are be delivered from you, but our God is big enough to deliver us. And then number five, make sure you don't bow. Once you take a stand, you take that stand. I will tell you, I have no idea. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I have no idea where we're headed. I absolutely, with every fiber of my spiritual being, believe that revival is still possible. And I think the darker the night, the brighter the light. I believe that our country has never been so divided, but it does seem like both sides are being very clearly indicated of who they are and the stand that they're taking. In many ways, those are good. That is good soil for revival to take place in America. So I am not this doomcaster that everything's going to go bad, but I am going to tell you something, that the people in this room and those children that were up here just a little bit ago, we do now live in a time where if you love this land, you will have to take a stand. And when you take that stand, if you have done 1, 2, 3, and 4, you make sure you don't bow. This is it. This is the stand. I may lose my position. I may be kicked out. This may happen. This could split our family. But this is a stand now that I must take. And if you take that stand, you do not bow. And you believe that your God is big enough that he will take care of you for the stand that you've taken. Man, I gotta tell you, my heart was touched tonight. It has been just a long time since I've just been excited about America. And it was even a greater thrill that the next generation was the one that got us there tonight. Man, praise God for that. I want to tell you, Lancaster Baptist Church, we don't know what the tomorrow holds. But I will tell you this, in the climate that we now live in, there is no way that you are going to be able to be the believer that you say you are and not take a stand. But you better make sure you're not looking for the fight. Make sure you know who the enemy is. It is not people. It is principles and precepts that you stand for. Make sure you're ready for the results. Make sure this is the one that you take a stand for. And make sure once you take that stand that you do not bow.